Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley.
And I'm her daughter, Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Heidi and I want to welcome you to Open to Hope Conversations, the podcast.
We believe that the greatest gift you can give yourself after a loss is hope, using this moment to connect with others who have not only survived, but thrived.
So let's get started. Welcome to the Open to Hope Show. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my daughter and co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Well, Heidi, we've got an interesting guest on today. She was on our television show recently, and we were talking about a little different take because we were talking about our new book, Open to Love, The Secrets of Senior Dating, that Frank and I produced. And Frank Powers, my fiance, and I did the show together with our guest today. But today we're going to talk with her about her unique approaches to dealing with grief, because she's a professional at working with bereaved people. So let's introduce her right now, Heidi, because I know she's going to give us some great tips and tools and ideas about how you can deal with grief.
Absolutely, Mom. We've had her on several cable shows, so please go to Open to Hope and watch those. Her name is Claudia Coonan, and Claudia is a certified grief counselor and a twice bereaved spouse. She is the creator of the Karuna Cards and author of Shattered by Grief, Picking Up the Pieces to Become Whole Again. And she has a new book out, which we will talk a little bit about, called Seasons of Grief, Creative Interventions to Support Bereaved People. Welcome to our podcast, Claudia.
Nice to see you again, Heidi, and Dr. Gloria as well.
So great to be on with you again. Well, I want to start out with really a different take, because I want to start out with your childhood. So fascinating how you got into the world of creativity very early. Can you tell people about it, about your family? Because it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know, I can't really say that I got into the world of creativity. I just automatically did creative things. I grew up in a milieu of a lot of artists and dancers. I took my first dance class, which was when I was three, which was really just like leaping over poisoned water and twirling and being a mouse and things like that. But my teacher, Selma Hill, had been a dancer with Martha Graham. Oh, wow. So I was sort of steeped in the arts and in performance and in creativity from a very early age. I can't even remember a time when I didn't dance or I didn't feel the need to express myself in some way through creativity. When I was about eight, my mother bought a guitar and she decided that she wanted to be a folk singer. So she took some guitar lessons and she began playing folk music. And one day when I was close to nine, we were riding in the car and she said, "Claudia, I want you to hear this song I just learned." And she started to sing an Irish folk song. And I just opened my mouth and began harmonizing.
Wow.
And neither of us really, I mean, I didn't even think about it. I just sang the notes. And she was like, "Wow, you can do that." So I started to join her on stage. And then my father, who was actually a dentist, was kind of getting tired of carrying around our stools and our guitars. And so he started playing the banjo. So then it was the three of us. By the time I was 11 or so, we were singing in a coffee house below Town Hall in New York City. And Pete Seeger was there and the Reverend Fred Douglas was there. And Pete Seeger's wife was making donuts for everybody. And the people that were running the show said to my mother, "Anybody that is not on the stage has to pay an admission fee." And my younger siblings were there. My mother was like, well, they're little kids. And they said, no, they have to pay. So my mother said, "Everyone is in the band." So then the family group was born. At the same time that I was performing with my family, I was also dancing and creating dances.
Wow.
So with all your creativity, I'm just curious, and I know then we'll dive into the topic more. Did dancing and singing help you when you had losses? Did you kind of turn to any of that to help you heal?
Yes. I will mention that the other thing that I've always done was to journal. And I never thought of myself as a writer, but that was how I processed things. When my first husband died in 2005, I immediately plunged into creative expression. I plunged into writing. I made movement. I went up on my hill and I danced out the feelings that were inside of me. I vocalized. I did things that I had thought I wasn't able to do. I can't draw. I am not a visual artist. And whenever anybody would say, "Oh yeah, of course you can draw," I would be, "Oh no, I can't," because I couldn't make it look like you know, a real artist. But what I discovered after my husband died is that I could use color and shape and scribbling and collage to help me. And I really didn't care what it looked like because it's about the process. So yes, that is exactly what I did. And while I was doing that, I thought I could become a creative grief counselor in some way because this will really help people.
So that just came to you. I love it.
It came to, yeah.
And I love the way that you're saying you don't have to be an artist or even feel like you're good at drawing to draw because it's about the process.
Right.
And I think people won't even start because they're judging themselves.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's so interesting. Deborah Kauf Chapin, she's an artist who developed a process called touch drawing in the 70s. And when Deborah was inventing and discovering her process of touch drawing, I was in her studio dancing while she was drawing. And for years, she would say to me, Claudia, you should try this. It's really fun. And it accesses really deep regions of our soul and of our emotions. And I would always say, oh, no, I can't draw. And after Albie died, I went to one of Deborah's workshops and I did it. I think I made 100 drawings. I threw most of them out, but the experience of making them and what they revealed to me, the dialogue between me and what I had created was so meaningful that it was very helpful. And in some cases, because that was early on after Albie died, he came through my drawings.
Wow, wow. Mm-hmm. So you decided, there's so much here, you decided to, that you would move into this field. If I've just had a loss, how do you work? What would be the first thing you do with me?
When I work with a new client, I know I tell them that I have at our fingertips, I have a lot of creative techniques, but that's not really where I start because it's a little scary for people, you know, people who say, oh, I'm not creative, I'm not an artist. When I work with somebody, I invite them to tell me what they think I need to know. And that it's also okay. They don't have to be linear about it. They can start wherever they want. And if they talk in circles, I'll follow them and we'll see what comes up in that conversation. And often, and I'll approach every session with a person like that. I might set them up with maybe a worksheet from my creative toolkit for working with grief and bereavement, or I might ask them to choose a Karuna card for reflection between the sessions. I might use some other creative techniques, or I might set them up that we might do these things when they come back next time so that they have a sense of what we might do. And also with the caveat that if they don't feel like doing it, or if I make a suggestion for something creative and it doesn't resonate with them, they just have to say, I don't want to do that. And that's fine. And if I give them homework, it's not school, so there's no grade if they don't do it.
Talk about your cards.
First of all, when Albie died in 2005, he was the father of my children. We had a really good marriage, you know, with all the challenges that a marriage might have. But after he died suddenly. He had a heart attack. So, and it was 4 days after his 50th birthday. So it was very shocking for all of us.
And he was young.
He was young. And, because I'm a lifelong journaler, I thought maybe he had hidden journals. And I was like, rustling through his papers and trying to find, it was like I was trying to find him. Maybe he wrote something that was meaningful, but he wasn't a journaler and he didn't really have that. But what I noticed is that on every card and every letter that I found of his, he wrote this word Karuna, where you usually would put the date, he wrote the word Karuna. And I showed it to my kids and I said, what does this mean? And we looked it up and it means compassion for all. And it means an active compassion. So it isn't just, I feel compassionate towards you. It's like, what can I do with that compassion to help you or to help myself? You know, if I'd applied the compassion to myself. I thought if I ever do anything new, and I didn't know what that would be yet, I would call it the Karuna Project. And so when I was working in hospice, when I got my first job working in a hospice in New Jersey, I was always recommending to my bereaved clients to journal. You know, somebody might say, oh, I wish I could tell my father about this success I just had, or I'd tell my mother about this wonderful recipe I just made. And I would be like, you can do that in your journal, or you can write a letter to that person. And many people would say, I don't even know how to start. So I started with 5 prompts on little slips of paper. And then when I decided to apply to be published to Jessica Kingsley Books, we brought it up to 52 cards. So it's a deck of 52 cards. Some of them are journal prompts. That's how it started. But some of them are prompts for being in nature, or ways of slowing down, or ways of imagining what your future might be, of imagining yourself as a superhero, of writing a fairy tale about your life or about somebody in your life. So there's lots of different things. Here's one. This is just an activity. What is your heart calling for? Gently roll your shoulders and stretch your torso to open your heart. Listen, pay attention. How will you answer this call?
I want to jump to the death of your second husband.
So the second one died 15 months ago. He died November 14th, 2022.
How did you take care of yourself after a second trauma?
Journaling, collaging, getting the resources from my colleagues, because now I have the colleagues, I have the grief people, you know, so calling up a colleague and saying, can you do some sessions with me? I'll pay you for sessions. Calling up Dr. Bob Niemeyer did a couple of sessions with me and was very helpful. Talking to my friends who are in the field, so I have wonderful support with my siblings. They really helped me a lot and listen, you know, a lot to what I'm going through. Going back to movement, also, I found a dance class, and I hadn't danced in very many years, except, you know, to music in my house. That's been helpful. Taking long walks in nature has been helpful. Mm-hmm. And just sitting with it. I mean, I think that's really the hardest thing. And what's been really interesting is to notice myself feeling and saying the same things that my clients say. Like, I wish this was over. I just want to fix this. I want to fix my life. I feel like I have some sort of a condition because I haven't lived alone since 1982. And now I'm living alone. And
well,
it feels.
That's what I was wondering, Claudia. Did you learn anything from your first loss that helped you with your second? And did you at any point feel like, why is this happening to me twice?
Yeah. Definitely. I definitely felt, the thought I had was, I didn't audition for this role of mm-hmm. being a double widow. Well, how could this happen? This is not right.
Did your first loss teach you anything
yes,
that you applied
yes.
to your second? Okay.
It did. It taught me that I have to be with it and I have to allow whatever emotions are arising. I need to let them flow through me. And it gave me the skills, the creative skills that I used the first time around were, and then also the amount of study and growth through the thanatology programs that I've done, through the art therapy classes that I've taken, through my own development of tools, I have these resources. What I learned through that first widowing and through everything that I've studied to become that creative grief counselor that I am now helped me in the second time. And all of that help and all of those things that I know how to do don't alleviate the pain of it and mm-hmm. the fact that I still have times where I have to just sit and cry and feel out of sorts.
When did you do your creative tools book?
Actually, that happened before he died. That happened the year before. I decided to create a collaborative work and invite 17 colleagues, including poets and artists, to join me in creating this book. And one of the people that I invited is named Louise Allen, and she's a nature therapist in England. And she sent me a long email about the life cycle of nature and then related that to the life cycle of grief. And that became the structure of the book. It's called Seasons of Grief, Creative Interventions to Support Bereaved People. So we look through the lens of the season. Now, of course, we know that you can use these techniques at any time.
If I am a newly bereaved person, what would your suggestion be?
Your first step is to feel the feelings. Reach out for support to the people that you think will support you. They may not be the ones that you are your go-to people. It might be somebody else. Yeah, and maybe go talk to a counselor for a while. Not everybody needs a lot of extensive grief counseling, but it's often helpful to have a little bit of grounding to know that you're, you know, sort of on the right path, because we question it. We don't know.
When you say feel the feelings, because that can be a very difficult thing to do. Validate and acknowledge your own loss. We're good at doing it with everybody else.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's tough. It sucks, you know?
Yeah. And when we think about compassion, we are often thinking about how can I help you? You know, you're in pain. How can I extend compassion to you? But what about compassion to yourself?
Yeah.
You know,
correct.
take a bath with a lovely scented oil so you can really just relax. Go sit, find a lovely tree that you want to lean up against and just breathe with that tree. Anything that will help.
I love the thought of reaching out for resources too. And I think your books and your Corona cards and all that are really could be very helpful for people to get. Tell people how they can get a hold of your Seasons of Grief Creative Heart Center Therapy and your other books and your Karuna cards. Give us your
Yeah.
website.
Karuna card. So it's thekarunaproject.com. That's K-A-R-U-N-A. So it's one word, thekarunaproject.com. And there's information there on what I do, on my particular creative techniques, and on all the books that I've written, and then also on podcasts and programs that I appear on. They're on my media page. And that'll also tell you how to work with me if you would like that. My books are available at the Jessica Kingsley Books website. They're available there. They're also available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today and for all the good you do to help people in the world.
Thank you. It's
yes,
a pleasure.
Thank you, Claudia. And thank you for showing us that despite multiple losses, there is hope again.
Thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for joining us on this show today. And Heidi and I always want to remind you that if you've lost hope, please lean on ours until you find your own. And God bless.
I'm Dr. Heidi Horsley. You have been listening to Open to Hope, the podcast. You can follow Open to Hope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To learn more, visit us at opentohope.com and go to Apple Podcasts to subscribe.
I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley. Join us again next week for another Open to Hope conversation, where we invite you to lean on our hope until you find your own.